Again, we're happy to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus this evening. Isn't it a comfort to know that God knows everything? That we can't do wrong and get by. And you know, on the other hand, God knows that exactly how much we want to serve Him. And He knows when our heart is completely after His heart. He knows everything, and to the Christian, that's a real comfort. Appreciate the devotional meditation, the songs, and for a few minutes, we want to turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings 5 and notice some things from the life of Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5. In verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." He was a leper. Poor Naaman. Though he was such a mighty man, a great man, honorable, mighty man in valor, you know, a man that no fear, he was not afraid to face the enemy and serve his king. But you know, Naaman had a problem. And that problem was bigger than what he was. He was a leper. In Israel, a leper was considered unclean. They had to live outside the city and not come near other people. If they saw someone was coming too close to them, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Leprosy, brothers and sisters, I believe is a real type of sin. It's a real type of sin. Naaman, for all the great things that he could do, he knew that sooner or later, this leprosy was going to put him in the grave. And as we think of leprosy as a type of sin, we each one had a problem, had something to deal with that was bigger than ourselves. No matter how many good things we could say about ourselves, no matter how much people thought of us because of us being good citizens and helping in charitable organizations, yet outside of Christ, we have a problem that's bigger than we are. That regardless how much good we do, that we're still lost. Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, I want to notice a few verses here. I'm sure these are very familiar verses, but I think it's verses that we need to be reminded of from time to time. Begin reading at verse 9, reading through 12, and then verse 23. "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're all together, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And going on over to verse 33, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That does not exclude anyone in this world. The only one that was without sin was Jesus Christ. But in the human race, there is no one that could say that they had never sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In a sense, we were all lepers before God. In the time Naaman had leprosy and on down through time, I'm not sure when they finally found a cure for it, but it was an incurable disease. And he had a problem that he could not solve. He knew that if there was no help found, that he would die. How do you think he felt, knowing that it was only a matter of time till he would gradually decline in health and death would set in? Beginning in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, thinking of leprosy as a type of sin and how the Holy Spirit will convict a person of their sin, we come to understand that we're sinners, we're lost, and in our own self there is no remedy. Here it says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And Naaman, is he considered that his health would be declining because he had a spot of leprosy? And there was no cure. Can't you just imagine that he was about desperate? Where can I find help? What can I do? But he had a problem that was bigger than what he was. You know, brothers and sisters, we all had that problem. Not with the leprosy as a disease, but with sin, which leprosy is a type of. We may have done a lot of good things before we came to Christ. Before we came to understand that the only way out was to yield ourselves completely over to the Lord. You know, regardless how many good things we might have done, we were still sinners. Now in the next verses here, verses 2 and 3. Read them. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. A little maid from Israel. Talking to her mistress. You know, I just marvel at this little maid. We don't know how old she was, but she was old enough to give a good testimony of the power of the prophet in Israel. And you know, maybe she puts me to shame even. I just marvel at how she so openly would talk about the prophet that was back in her country. You know, this little girl did not allow bitterness to control her life. She didn't allow self-pity to ruin her. She was a captive, taken away from her parents, her home, her security. But when she saw that her master had a need that would finally destroy his life, she told her mistress of the prophet in Israel. She said, he could cure my master. He could cure Naaman of his leprosy. And you know, I just believe that those that her parents must have really had a teaching program going on in their home, that she would be that confident in the power that the prophet in Israel had through God, his working. May this be a challenge to us as parents this evening. Now, in verse 4, it says that one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Now, here we notice in verse 5 that Naaman was, and the king, were willing to do whatever was necessary for his healing. According to what I understand, the talents of gold, the 6,000 pieces of, the 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment would have been somewhere between $50,000 to $55,000 worth. Now, that's no small sum. And you know, people around the world are concerned about their health and to be healed. And God gives us that desire to live. So Naaman was willing to go to great lengths to be cured. You know, brothers and sisters, we must be ready to give up everything to be cured of the sin problem. We must be ready to die to self. If we want to be healthy spiritually, we die to self. We say yes to God. We sell out to God. We can't allow anything, possessions or anything, to come between us and God. We cannot be healed spiritually without selling out to God. Verses 6 through 8, we see the dilemma of the king of Israel. When he received these letters, the king of Israel said, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man descend unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. So the king of Israel was in a tight spot. You know, I don't believe he knew the Lord like the prophet did. He could only think of one thing, that the king of Syria was trying to get something against him. We'll read through verse 10. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Thou shalt be clean. Naaman comes to Elisha's house, seeking deliverance from his leprosy. We notice I believe we see a lesson here that we need to come where there is help. He continued his search for help, and he came to Elisha's house. But we also notice here the simple remedy that Elisha gave to him for his healing. And Elisha didn't even come out in person. He sent a servant, a messenger, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And you know, brothers and sisters, God's remedy for sin is also very simple. It is. It's easy. It's easy enough that even children can understand. Not the real small, but you know, a person doesn't have to be real old until you can believe the account that we have in the scriptures of how to be saved. It's very simple. Very easy to be understood. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, for a real rich person, they come up against a problem that they can't solve, that they just don't know which way to turn. Don't you think they'd be willing to spend a lot of money to have the answer to their problem? Naaman did. And the king was ready to give whatever was necessary for Naaman's healing. But you know what? God, in a very simple way, has made it so that every person in this world can be healed from the leprosy of sin. It's through the blood of Jesus. Back in the book of Romans again, Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's nothing difficult about the steps of salvation. Where the problem comes in is with ourselves and our pride, and like we will see in the life of Naaman here presently. But the way to salvation is very simple. It's very clearly outlined in the scriptures. Matthew 11:28, where Jesus invites the sinner to come, and I believe it has more than one application here. Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think it's an invitation for the sinner. It's also an invitation. It's calling us as his followers to just put our trust in him and truly get yoked up with him and rely on him. But it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, the burden of sin that we felt, and how that will sap your strength when you know that you're not living right. You're not ready for the judgment of God. You're not ready for the end of the world. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Going back to the account of Naaman, verses 11 and 12. It says, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Turned and went away in a rage. You know, Naaman had his own ideas of how to be healed. He had his own theories. Why, what they had back in Syria was better than what they had in Israel. And how often do we stumble over the fact that God's plan is perfect and ours is imperfect? We don't have the answer. God is the one that has the answer for our salvation. You know, Naaman was the captain, the great captain of the host of the king of Syria. And he was so indignant that Elisha didn't come out himself and perform this great miracle. Elisha just sent a messenger and said, go wash yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. A very simple cure for what Naaman was it was impossible for him to do in his own strength. But it says that he turned and went away in a rage. How often we see people that they know they have a problem. They know that there's sin in their hearts. They're guilty before God. And yet they turn away from this simple plan of salvation that can give them deliverance, that can do exactly what they want, but they allow their pride they allow their pride to get in the way. You know, pride in oneself is a terrible sin. It hinders the work of God in the hearts and lives of those who are lifted up in pride. You know, Naaman almost missed the only cure for his leprosy because of being too proud to humble himself and do what the prophet's messenger told him to do. Yes, brothers and sisters, we do not come to God on our terms. We come to God on His terms. Are we humble enough this evening to receive the message? Naaman was ready to pay a great price for his freedom, for his healing, for his deliverance from this leprosy. But you know, pride kept him from submitting to God's will. Pride is a terrible thing. How often we need to suffer because we are too proud to submit to the will of God. You know, we think of what pride did to Lucifer, the created being that God created. And he was a beautiful being in heaven. But he was lifted up in pride and he had to be cast out. Forever separated from God. Pride pushes God and others out of our lives. You know, we can think of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, and what pride did to him. We think of how he talked about that great kingdom that he had built and for his own glory and whatever. You know, God worked with him in a very mighty way. He brought Nebuchadnezzar down on his hands and knees so that he ate grass like the beasts of the field. When God got finished working with him, then he extolled the God of heaven. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we're living in sin and pride is ruling in our hearts, sometimes God has to take drastic measures to get us down to the point where we're ready to cry out to him. But you know, God in his mercy will, if God will work, and he will continue to work, And he wants to bring us down to the point where we understand that this is the only remedy for the sin question. And I believe that was the point where Naaman had to come to for his disease of leprosy. Yes, Naaman thought he had a better way, better rivers, better water. But he had to come down to where he was ready to follow instructions. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Naaman, just think. Something so simple, something so easy, and you're ready to throw away the very thing that will heal you of your leprosy. How foolish. And thankfully, Naaman listened. But you know, we see this thing happening in a spiritual sense, which is so much worse than just the disease of the body that can destroy only the body. We see it. We see time and again people rejecting the very sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary for their redemption. Oh, if they would only take counsel. Take heed to the prayers and the pleadings of their parents and their ministry and those that are concerned about them. You know, I believe Naaman's servants cared for him. They loved him. And they wanted to see him healed. Know how we desire to see everyone cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Finally, in verse 14, we see where Naaman humbled himself. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be like wool. Jesus wants to cleanse the heart of every sinner. Yes, he does. The blood that he shed there on the cross of Calvary is well able to save every human being from their sins. That sacrifice was the perfect sacrifice. But this simple act of obedience that Naaman did was rewarded by God. The act of obedience was rewarded by God. Brothers and sisters, when we meet God on His terms, there is always His blessing. He is calling sinners to come to the foot of the cross and be washed in the blood of Jesus. It is so simple that anyone can understand it, but you know, the highly educated, the wise people of this world, they stumble across it. It's too simple for them. Going back to Romans chapter 7, we read the verse, the next to the last verse in Romans 7, where it says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Then verse 25 is the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can be delivered from the power of sin. We can be delivered from spiritual death. We can receive life eternal through the gift of salvation that Jesus made for us. Again, in Romans 10. Verses 9 through 13. I know we read 9 and 10 earlier. But I'll just read them again, 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He shall be cleansed from his sin. It's there. God is just waiting to cleanse the sinner from their sins. Hebrews 9, verses 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, and that was under the Old Testament. Verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Yes, it's like the hymn writer said, not all the blood that was shed under the old covenant could take away sins. But you know, Jesus made that perfect sacrifice. He shed his blood, and his blood is sufficient to cleanse everyone from their sins. It says, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Yes, there is power in the blood. And through that power, we can be washed. We can be cleansed. We can stand before an almighty, holy God just as though we had never sinned. And you know, I just can't grasp that in its fullness. Because I was condemned, guilty, condemned to die and suffer in hell eternally. But you know, because of the gift of salvation, I could turn around and be on the road toward glory. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful story. Such a wonderful gift. Oh, why can't we get people to understand? Why is it that we're so slow to take God at his word and you say, yes, Lord, I want this gift of salvation. I want you to have my life. I want you to cleanse me and heal me of my sickness of sin. Book of Revelation, chapter 7. I want to read verses 9 through 17 in closing. Revelation 7, beginning reading at verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, you know, in the story of Naaman, yes, he was healed physically, but it came the day when he died physically also. Here we have a beautiful picture of those that say yes to God and allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse them, to make them white. It says they and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The glories of heaven, the glory of being in the presence of God, being able to fall down upon our faces before our God and worship Him there in heaven with a perfect praise, with a perfect worship. Oh, friends, brothers and sisters, we're so unworthy of that, of being in heaven. But Christ makes us worthy through His operation in our hearts, in our lives. As we yield ourselves to Him, as we in obedience follow Him, then, you know, it's not like we hear in some of the Protestant churches today where they put so much emphasis on the salvation experience that they forget about the life of obedience. But that experience is the first step. And it's a very, very, very important step. Without that, we could do anything we could try to do and it wouldn't avail anything. But when we get that sin question straightened out, when we allow the Lord Jesus into our hearts and are washed in His blood, then we can go on in a walk with God that pleases Him. And that walk will finally terminate in our entrance into heaven itself with God. May God help us to make sure that we are on the road to glory, that we have the sin question taken care of, that we have been to the foot of the cross and there experienced cleansing, experienced the peace and the joy that comes from just giving all over to God and allowing Him to make a new person out of us.